Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
So what is hitting the wall look like for you?
It is a level of pain. It's like, it's the 5 stages of grief is what it is.
Oh, that's what you're experiencing.
Like, depression, bargaining, acceptance.
Is there a helicopter I missed two of that those can stages. Come get me out of right. this trail?
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, it definitely is like, God, why did I do this to myself today? Was this a smart move? And it always is. It's just like when the wall comes, it's usually because we've done like, you know, 17 miles.
Yeah.
Look at that. We were almost on the money there.
Almost.
And so it's sort of like, oh, we've already done this was either an epic trail or we've done a somewhat epic trail and then we tack something else on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, why did we do that? Uh-huh. What's a rest day? Yeah, it definitely takes like the thought of some sort of food after the fact to like power me through, to borrow from Kate Bush, to run up that hill.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is a song I realized isn't about what we thought it was all about.
Oh, no, it's no. not. Definitely no. not.
I was like, oh, someone opened my eyes to that one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about you? What's your wall like?
It's just sort of like I will feel like I'm just going through the motions, even if it's like the view is incredible and like mm-hmm. the landscape is amazing. It's like as soon as I get incredibly desensitized to all of it, mm-hmm. I know I've hit the wall. I'm like, I can't appreciate any yeah. of this. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting through this so that I can get to the end and sit down or get to the end and get these boots off or get to the end and get this pack off or get to the end and get some chips
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
cookies or cheese sticks or french fries. Mm-hmm.
These are a few of my favorite things.
They really are. In yeah. my version of that song, it would all be food items. All food items.
When the french fries, when the snowballs.
Yes.
When I'm feeling sad.
Correct.
I simply devour my favorite things and then I'm not feeling so bad.
Right, exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
That's where I am.
I mean, but that's also, I think the wall is also when musical improv comes in or when Mike sings all of I Can't Do This
Alone. Oh, it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. You immediately like, go to singing oh, to yeah. get yourself through.
Oh, I have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
it's the stages of grief, then singing.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Mm-hmm. I think I don't know that I go to singing like you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what I go to. Yeah, I don't know.
The dark space.
Right, right. Right.
We roll reverse there.
We do roll reverse a little bit. I think that's what happens. I become like the dark sister. Uh-huh.
And I'm
with
just
all of
trying
the,
to be joy over
the dark,
here.
I'm being like, we've been on this for 17 hours. We're going to be
you
on
do
it for
become
another 17
pretty dour.
Hours.
I like.
It's true.
You lit. Now, this is actually.
You take on the dour.
You take the dour.
And you take on the
you
brightness.
You take the bitter with the sweet.
I do.
I try to be
what
bright.
This
is fascinating. I really am just figuring this out now.
I know. Mm-hmm. What a little
freaky Friday.
Switcheroo, freaky Friday mm-hmm. parent trap of it all happening at the end of the hike.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sail. stars. Get up when the stars still fill the sky. Don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real. You can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We'd like to acknowledge that while visiting the land also known as Gateway Arch National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Kickapoo, Kaskaskia, Osage, Miamia, Ocheti Shekowin, and many other indigenous people.
In episode 113, we started at the Gateway Arch National Park. We had, in fact, walked all the way there from our Airbnb that morning.
We did.
It was about 5 miles.
Yes, getting our steps in.
We did. We got all of them in real quick.
Because we were just like, we've been hiking so much, we can't go a day without. We just love it.
I also,
what's a rest day?
I also want to point out that we, this past summer, went to, and we'll mention this again, but we went to Olympic and Rainier, then did a few days in Seattle to, of course, rest. But we got on foot and walked about, I don't know, 15 miles each day
on
foot
like
in Seattle.
Yep.
So yeah, that's how we roll over here.
Yep.
At Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast.
And the tired girls.
The tired girls who are still going to be walking even when they're tired.
Whose calves are calving and glutes are gluten.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
So in episode 113, we had explored the Gateway Arch Museum. We watched the documentary about the building of the arch. Fascinating. Highly recommend. And then we took the little tiny pod up to the apex of the arch. And you can go listen to that episode to hear all about that.
So Gateway Arch has actually been an NPS site for many years. It is one of America's newest national parks, as it was only established as a national park in 2018. There's not that many beyond it. I think it was just New River Gorge was just the one beyond that.
Correct.
So this was 62, New River was 63. And it was formerly called the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial. Doesn't that sound like manifest destiny?
Yeah.
And signed into protection in 1935.
So the arch itself was designed by architect Eero Saarinen, along with structural engineer Hanskari Bandel in 1947, and then it was officially built between 1963 and 1965. It is 630 feet wide and 630 feet tall, so therefore it is as tall as it is wide.
Parabola. The protected area also includes the old courthouse, which is across the street. It was the location of the local trials of the Dred Scott case, which helped to reshape American civil rights.
Including all of the protected areas, it is the smallest of the 63 national parks and contains less than 2% of the area of the second smallest. Can you guess what the second smallest national park is?
Oh, that's
by area.
Great question.
Yes.
And that is a very difficult question.
I'm going to give you three guesses.
Is it Indiana Dunes?
It is not Indiana Dunes. That was guess one.
Okay. Is it... I'm trying to think. Very small, tiny parks. Is it Badlands National Park?
It is not Badlands National Park.
Is it Wind Cave National Park?
No, not Wind Cave National Park.
Then I'm way off.
Struck out.
I did.
It is Hot Springs National Park.
Oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hot Springs.
And forgot all about her. And she's coming up next.
She's coming up soon.
She is.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, you may be asking, what is the Gateway Arch and why is the Gateway Arch? And frankly, we understand there are so many questions about it. We do unpack a little bit of this in the trail mixes that have come out with these two episodes. So we recommend going to listen to that about Lewis and Clark and, you know, that westward expansion and the Louisiana Purchase, as well as how Manifest Destiny became a thing and how that also was a part of all of this.
Yeah.
As per the NPS, quote, the Gateway Arch reflects St. Louis's role in the westward expansion of the United States in the 19th century, end quote. So Let's talk about the word reflex.
Mm.
I feel like it's doing a lot of heavy lifting in that phrase.
Sure.
And I don't know. I don't know if it reflects as much as like boastfully and confidently sort of symbolizes a lot of just colonization in like incredible, profound prominence. That's sure. what I would say instead of reflex.
Reflex is not a great word.
Reflex is a soft word here.
It is.
I don't know if
they were trying to like also note that it reflects in the rivers of the waters of the Mississippi.
Maybe it does that.
And they were trying to like do a 2-for-1 special there. But it definitely is symbolic. It's absolutely, you know, it is this architectural but also artistic expression of, we really want to dive deep into the psychology of this. I feel like the idea of an apex is here, mm-hmm. and this idea of this, specifically Louisiana Purchase, being sort of like the apex of this expansion westward, this sort of like crescendo, if you will, that opened the dam. I'm doing a lot of mixed metaphor here.
Yeah.
That allowed for all of this to then become America, sort of is like, look at this giant archway that's also a doorway, that's also this symbol of like the apex of something. I feel like there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
It is definitely symbolic. I feel like
it is without a doubt. That.
So I don't know. I think it could symbolize St. Louis's role.
Certainly.
And I also feel like St. Louis is an interesting, like, we obviously know there's a lot that happened to St. Louis in St. Louis because of the westward expansion. We also know that.
Without a doubt, like, that area, there is a ton of history.
Right.
In that area.
Yeah.
And we're not taking any of that from that area.
No.
That area will always have that. And it was a very important place for a lot of reasons.
Sure. There is this idea of it being a gateway for the Mississippi, the gateway to the West as like a jumping off. We know from talking to Jessica Dunham that three of the major routes, roadways, the highways that cross America all run
through
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
So there is some sort of symbolism here in this Midwest city.
Yeah.
So
I do feel like generally it's reflecting and symbolizing a lot.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to use like
they're
a
trying to
yeah. one kind of monument or park, if you will, to sort of symbolize quite a bit
sure.
that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in addition to westward expansion, the role that St. Louis had, it was also like there, this is also the courthouse where all the local trials for the Dred Scott case were heard before it got to the Supreme Court.
It's a confluence of
things.
It's
a confluence, a lot happening. Okay, so let's talk about the grounds of the Gateway Arch National Park. Let's be real. There are not hiking trails here.
No.
No. This is the tiny little park with a giant arch on it. And, but there are some walking paths.
Yes.
There are some, paved sidewalks.
Yes.
So we did walk upon them.
Yes.
And we did. So, yeah.
And the museum is here. It's directly underneath the ground of the center of the arch. The grounds are to the sides of the arch where you can walk right up to the legs of the arch. So there are like sort of like a green way on both sides of the arch. And in front of you is the Mississippi.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a piazza that like you walk downstairs and you can kind of get closer to the actual river itself. You're giving me like a smirk over there.
I am because of your pronunciation of piazza.
Okay, sorry. Piazza.
I was like, what's
I'll
that?
Have a piazza pie.
I was like, what? I'm piazza, please. I'm going to have a piazza. Those of us from the musical theater will and always will pronounce it piazza mm-hmm. because of the Light in the Piazza mm-hmm. musical. It was a beautiful day this day we were at Gateway
Arch. It was,
hot,
but,
it was
you know.
Warm. We were finally in shorts, short yeah. sleeves. There was nothing
we
cold.
Were shorts most of the trip.
We were also in chilly times in the evenings in some places.
Sure.
So it was summer, but it was like we were feeling the summer finally yeah. here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So we walked around the grounds. We walked on the paved pathways. We did notice like there were also paved pathways that were also parabolic. Ish, mm-hmm. if you will.
Sure.
we were like, well, obviously that was intentionally curated. Absolutely. That way.
Yeah.
But all in all, I mean, it took us maybe, what, 20 minutes to walk around everything?
It's not a lot to walk. I mean, do it, because it's worth great. It. And you're there.
And there were people sitting on the grass and they were enjoying it. And they have lots of different sort of, you know, like festivals and things that happen on the grounds there. And like,
I mean, the other thing is, it is interesting to be under the arch, to be at the leg. I mean, we have some great photos that we took with the arch in the background, or the arch us from below, you know, some unflattering photos of us.
There were quite
with
a few.
Like quadruple chins.
We do love our quadruple chins.
We do love our quadruple chins.
From that summer. Yep. It's true.
But that is neat to be able to be like at the foot of the arch and be like, oh, I wrote up that thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, we did a thing.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Yeah.
We did. We had tickets to get on the riverboat, mm-hmm. which the riverboat is another way
experience
to engage with this national park. Mm-hmm. They have tickets available. We got tickets. We were waiting for the riverboat to leave or to board the riverboat, essentially. And so we used that time to explore the greenery.
Yeah,
around.
Just meander.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. All right, we're playing adjective, noun, verb. The last time we played this, we ended up in a petty argument about what an alliteration was.
Mm.
And you argued that an alliteration is entirely about the first letter.
Yes.
And I argued that an alliteration is entirely about the first sound. In fact, both of those things are true.
Yeah.
So we're both right.
But you thought you were right.
You thought you were more right. So where we fall on the more right scale... A conversation for another time, but in that way we were both correct.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So there we are.
We love that for us.
We love that journey for us. All right, so here's my first one.
Okay.
Honorary baby cats punching with their legs.
Catty kittens kicking. Catty, I think, is a C.
Yeah, this the word I'm thinking of is the C, because again, we're both correct. So, no, ornery and angry.
Cantankerous?
Oh, I'll take that. I was thinking cranky. Oh. Cranky kittens kicking.
Okay, well, that's funny because my first word was cranky too.
Well, you have to come up with a new one.
No, you can guess the rest of it.
Okay, great.
I was like, is he going to say cranky? And so you did. You sunk my battleship. Okay. Honorary river swimming reptiles dancing a Spanish dance. I believe it's a Spanish dance.
What is cranky crocodiles can-canning?
I don't think the can-can is a Spanish dance. I think that's a French dance.
Is it?
I was looking for calypsoing.
Oh, calypsoing.
Is that a Spanish dance or is it a South American dance? I don't know.
Calypso is, in fact, Not from Spain. It is from Trinidad and Tobago originally. Okay. Interested and questioning birds that have a little flip on their head, shushing everyone.
Queering quails, quieting.
Ooh, queering. I'm going to take that. That's even better. Oh, I was
querying.
Like querying. That's what I mean.
You said queering.
Queering. Queering.
They could be. They're interested and curious.
That's true. They could be queering. Querying. I was going to say curious, but querying is actually better.
Uh-huh. Querying quails.
And works better with the alliteration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sad and gray and mopey people behind the wheel tapping on their steering wheel.
Drivers is one of the words. Mm-hmm. Depressed. Mm-mm. Driver. Drab drivers.
I'll take it.
Drab drivers.
Tapping on their steering wheel.
Dabbing.
Like they were in a band.
Drumming.
There we go. I was looking for dreary drivers drumming.
Dreary drivers
drumming. Dreary drivers
drumming. Dreary drivers drumming. Yep. There you go.
And that's adjective, noun, verb.
That's right. And the rewrite for your, I think if you did the 12 days of Christmas,
uh-huh.
it would be, instead of like 12, it would be like on the 12th day of Christmas, dreary drivers drumming. It would just be like adjective, noun, verb all the way down.
Oh, I like that. And wouldn't it would it? Be darkness.
Totally.
On the 12 days of darkness.
We got in line then and got to the riverboat.
Mm-hmm.
It was around noon at this time. Like it was, the sun was high in the sky. Yeah. It was warm.
Yeah.
We were like, actually, this boat ride will be nice.
Yeah. I feel like I've done a few boat rides before on rivers in that. So for our eighth grade trip at school, they often go to historic sites and then we'll do like a boat ride, dinner, cruise kind of situation.
Wow, so, the privilege.
Yep, I knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. This isn't my privilege. I'm just along for the privilege ride here.
I'm just chaperoning. Yes, correct.
Yeah. And so we've done like the Spirit of Boats, and this was very reminiscent. Like the Spirit of Philadelphia, we like have gone on the Delaware before.
Oh, I see.
Like the Spirit of Norfolk, like we've gone on whatever that river.
Right, right. I got it.
Yeah. This kind of felt like that. I had that feeling.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a very big boat. It definitely had like the, I don't know what that thing
water
is.
Wheel?
A water wheel. Yeah. Back. And yeah. It was really big. And there was quite a bit of seating in the form of like benches. You could sit inside. You could sit outside. I feel like by the time we got on, like a lot of the seating was taken and like there was, and we didn't want to sit inside. We wanted to sit outside. Also wanted to sit in the shade. And then it took us a minute to find a seat.
Right. The nice thing is like once we were moving, there was just airflow. And so that was really good.
When the boat took off, it was heading north. And so we were able to like see St. Louis and take in the arch from the side we were on.
And so once the boat got moving, it was nice because it was actually very breezy on the river here. And it just was sort of like, this was our moment to sort of hit shutdown mode. I think we actually like our bodies were just like, oh,
not just sitting. For the day.
No.
No, for like the 4 weeks.
Yeah, we kind of were like, uh-oh.
This was the moment.
This was the moment.
It was like feeling like the ghost just like flow out of my body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, we only had, Smokies left and Dollywood.
No, we had Mammoth Cave.
Oh yeah. That's
and
right.
And Smokies.
That's right.
And Dollywood and Rehoboth left.
Right. But that was that was our little gift to ourselves at the end.
We had
about a week left.
About a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we were definitely like, oh, okay. Well, we know what tired is and we're here. The wall. The wall for the trip had come.
The wall immediately hit. It was funny because in this moment I felt a little delusional. Mm-hmm. Like the wall hit and a little bit deluded by all of it. Mm-hmm. It was like, we're just on a boat and this is great. And this is lovely.
Just carry me home.
Carry me home.
Yeah.
We did get to take in a lot of, you know, see a lot of St. Louis from the boat.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great vantage point to see the arch from the boat. And then as we were traveling up the river, we were heading north on the Mississippi River. And then at some point we did make a 180 turn.
Yeah. This is also where we had like a lot of bird friends like perching on the underside of the boat.
Barn swallows.
Yeah.
A ton of barn swallows mm-hmm. started.
This was like another formative birding moment, I feel like, for you.
It was.
Because we just like like enjoyed this the whole time. And I was like, oh, he didn't include that, but I remembered.
Well, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, this was now 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of barn swallows on that boat.
Mm-hmm. After we basically made that turn, it felt pretty fast. Like if you've been on a boat tour like this, and again, this is something similar to what I've experienced in other boat touring situations, which does sound like a lot of privilege, but it really is just a boat tour on a river with the city in the background. It's the same thing. It's sort of like there's no information given. Like this is not a
no, this was not
like informative tour. This is like you get to sit and get to take in the sights and like just rest and enjoy it. And that's exactly kind of what we needed here.
And with that, let's take our next break. Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage a drag king.
Oliver DePlace.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Oliver DePlace. Mm-hmm. I guess technically one could pronounce it Oliver DePlace if they wanted to be French about it.
Olivier DePlace.
But it would be more like Olivier DePlace, perhaps.
Sure.
But yes, Oliver DePlace. I just think the word DePlace is great.
Yeah.
It's so fun and I love it so much. Okay, so who is Oliver DePlace?
Well, I think he's a scatterbrain king.
Oh.
Like, I think his act is like he is an office worker with a messy desk. He gets wheeled out and there's just papers everywhere. And then at a certain point, fans come on by and the papers blow all out into the audience and he's frantic about it and he's trying to pick the papers up. And then it becomes like a dance number. What he sings.
Oh,
I don't know.
I see. What number, what is the song that Oliver DePlace does for this like desk paper all over the place number? Yakety Yak is coming to mind. I feel like that is like the song of all, like whenever there is a montage of like people trying to work and do something quickly in a movie, that's the song that plays.
I do feel like it would be like an older song.
So what is Oliver DePlace's merch?
I think it has to be a planner so you can keep things straight because he's such a scatterbrain.
Oh,
you know?
I see.
But I think it's a planner that doesn't, it's like a planner from 3 years ago.
A planner from 3 years ago.
So the dates don't line up. It's like a 2020 planner. Not that we want to go back to that dark place, but yeah.
That's really funny. I feel like there's like little notes that he's written in like throughout all of them.
Yeah.
And like whenever you buy one, it's like, it's not ultimately useful, but that's not the
point. Or it's like you get a planner and it has a pen with it, but the pen then becomes invisible ink after you write for like a, you know, and then you can't remember that you wrote that down on the planner.
So
it's like kind of like a, I mean, in the theme of Yakety Yak, I feel like it's sort of like he might be like a little bit of like a gag king. Like novelty kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
like
that.
A scatterbrain
like
novelty
king.
Like
he shakes your hand and it's like the thing that like shocks
you. Yeah, the buzzer.
But he forgot he had it.
Right.
And yeah. he also gets shocked.
Yeah, or he like puts a whoopee cushion on his own chair.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a gag king that can't keep up with his own gags.
Right. Yeah.
Because he is all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And he is Oliver DePlace.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Oliver DePlace. After making our way and that 180 degree turn, we turn south on the river, and this is where we can start to see Illinois. Not a ton to see on that side of the river.
No, there really wasn't.
No.
I mean, it's like boggy and marshy and
yeah.
like, you know, mm-hmm. like natural landscape.
Yeah.
Really, there really was not a lot.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, a nice, peaceful little ride, and it didn't need to be anything more than that.
No.
And yeah, and then it docked again, and then we were able to get off of the boat. I remember that morning we had made a little sort of plan. We were like, okay, well, if we're really tired, we can maybe take an Uber back,
yeah.
right? Or, you know, something like that, because we had walked there.
Yeah.
But there was a brewery nearby that we wanted to take in.
Right.
And try and drop in on. And so we decided to walk there next.
Yes.
We were like, this will be a great way to like end the day. Because we
yeah.
were there on like, it was a middle of the week
yeah.
day
yeah.
that we were there. And
I think there was a game happening too.
There like was
later.
Some game
yeah.
because like, I mean, the Arch is just down the street from the
Cardinal Stadium.
The
yeah.
Cardinal Stadium.
Yeah.
So we walk over to the brewery. This was when we passed again the Purina plant.
Yep.
The Purina like dog food.
Yeah.
And it smelled for like blocks.
It did.
Like dog food.
Mm-hmm.
Dog food.
Like dog food.
As we would say here in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Dog food.
And we got to the brewery and we just, again, this was like, oh, we're kind of in vacation mode now. We're not in hiking mode. We're tired. We're going to get some flights and we're going to have a good time. And it was, I mean, the brewery was really great. It was just nice to kind of like decompress here. This is like sort of like, I think a spot of the trip where we started to talk a little bit more about our journey so far. Where, to borrow a phrase from the NPS, we reflected a little.
We did reflect a little bit on our journey.
On our journey.
All the way to St. Louis.
All the way to St. Louis from, you know, New Jersey all the way around. But yeah, it was just a nice way to kind of like relax here and have that moment. And we've talked about if we have the opportunity, we typically will seek out a brewery near a park.
Oh yeah, all the time.
And so this kind of like was keeping in line with trends for us. It was not that far from the park. You could literally
no.
throw a stone almost.
No,
and get
it was
there.
Right yeah. there. It was right there. It was great. For reasons that completely align with the two of us, but still are
insane.
I don't understand where they come from. We decided to not Uber back, but walk back.
Right.
To the Airbnb. We were yeah. like, all right, we'll walk another 5 miles. So we literally got back on our feet and walked the 5 miles back to the Airbnb, where we quickly changed a little bit. I think we might have showered, changed, and then
it was hot. Yeah.
We were like, let's go get some dinner now.
Yeah.
So we went to a neighborhood very nearby where our Airbnb was, and we got some dinner there. And then we called it a day because we had to get up very early and head out to see more parks. There is nothing to put on the Karen Stone scale today,
no.
so we're going right into our Jeopardy-style trivia. Mike, what have you got for us?
Well, I was thinking, since we were on the Mississippi, of Mark Twain.
Oh.
Because Mark Twain is a pen name.
Ah, I see.
Samuel,
so this
Samuel
is
Clemens
all going is to be about...
so you're. I'm going to give you the pen name.
People who've yeah. won the Mark Twain Prize
That's right.
for humor.
Yep. No,
who
this
is Julia Louis-Dreyfus? Yeah.
This is going to be me giving you the actual name of the author, and you will have to give me their pen name, which
Great.
They are better known by.
I'm ready.
Great. For 100... Charles Ludwig Dodson might have you heading through the looking glass into Wonderland, but you would know him better by his pen name.
Who is Lewis Carroll?
Correct. For 200, Richard Bachman is a master of terror. From burial grounds that bring people back to life, to cars with a vengeance, to clowns that haunt a small main town, he really covers it all.
Who is Stephen King?
Correct. For 300, Eric Arthur Blair, who wrote about Barnyard Uprising and a bleak future set in my birth year, is better known by this name.
Who is George Orwell?
That's correct. Animal Farm in 1984.
That's right.
For 400, Howard Allen Francis O'Brien sounds more like a list of men's names than it does this vampire writing queen of New Orleans' actual name.
Who is V.C. Andrews?
Mm-mm.
Okay, then who is Anne Rice?
Correct. And for 500, Silence Dugood was an acclaimed writer, statesman, inventor, and innovator, but this founding father was better known by this name.
Who is Ben Franklin?
That's correct.
Oh, look at that.
Your birthday twin.
Who is Danielle Steele? Okay, great.
Right.
Are you ready for my category?
I am.
Okay, so I recently discovered this and I thought it was the funnest thing and was like, oh my God, I have to write a Jeopardy about it. So this is less connected to Gateway Arch, I'm just letting you know.
Great.
So
mine was a thin connection anyway, at best.
Thin. Yeah. So mine is a not at all connection.
Great.
It's called kangaroo words.
Okay.
So a kangaroo word is a word that contains another version of the thing that it is describing inside of itself.
Okay.
For example, okay, I'm going to give you this one. This is the type of food or animal that one might eat grilled constantly if you're trying to up your protein intake. And the Joey word inside of it is specifically the term for this female of the species.
What is a chicken?
And then the Joey chick. Word would be...
Chick?
No.
Hen?
Yeah. So inside of the word chicken is H-E-N in mm-hmm. that order.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not next to each other. But H-E-N right. is in that order sure. in the word.
Yeah.
So it's not like E-H and N.
Yeah.
It's got to be
yeah,
H-E-N
yeah, it's
in
order.
That order.
But yeah, I was like...
So that is what a kangaroo word is.
Great.
Is that it's a word that describes something, and then there's a smaller Joey word inside of it mm-hmm. that also describes the same thing.
Sure.
Okay, so for 100, this is the first of the four qualities that RuPaul is looking for on RuPaul's Drag Race, along with uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And the Joey word is a word that one might use to describe a quality of a handsome prince.
What is charisma?
That's the first.
And charm is the other word?
There you go.
Okay, great.
There you go. Kangaroo word yeah. and the Joey word.
Great.
Okay, for 200. The kangaroo word here is the scientific word for water falling from the sky. And the Joey word is its informal version.
What is precipitation and what is rain?
That's right.
Yeah.
For 300. This is a twin kangaroo word because it contains... two Joey words.
Okay.
The twin kangaroo word is something that a gladiator might stand on and ride while pulled by horses. And the two Joey words here describe a general term for a personal vehicle and something that rolls that one might sell goods out of.
What is chariot, car, and cart?
Correct. Look at you. You're nailing
mm-hmm.
it. For 400, also a twin. The twin kangaroo word here is a verb for decaying or withering away. And the twin Joey words inside of it, one is a term for life ending, and another is usually used to describe a fruit that goes bad.
Is rotting the...
Rot is one of the Joey words.
Okay, rot's one of the Joey words, but that's not the kangaroo word. I don't know.
Okay, so the word we were looking for was, the kangaroo word is deteriorate.
Okay.
And then the two Joey words are die and rot.
Got it.
For 500. This is a grand kangaroo word. Okay, so what that means is, that it's a kangaroo word that's got a Joey word, and then there's a Joey word beside that Joey word.
Got it.
This is a nesting doll
of
a word. And so I'm only going to give you... the kangaroo word, and you have to guess the two Joey words after
okay.
that. This grand kangaroo word contains a Joey word that contains yet another Joey word. This grand kangaroo word is another word for isolated or by oneself.
Okay, so is the word solitary?
No.
Oh.
Think simpler.
is the word alone.
It is.
Okay. That's so the kangaroo word.
That's the, yes, correct. Okay. That's the kangaroo word. So what's the first Joey word?
Lone.
Correct. Okay. And then what's the other Joey word?
One.
Correct. There you go. Uh-huh. You got all of your points, girl. Well, except for deteriorate, die, and rot.
Which is how I greet you every day.
That's right. This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram, on our website, and in the Gaze Shop is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariello Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that we're recording this episode that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey.